Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Matthew chapter 5, we'll read from verse 7.
So, as usual, I encourage you to pay attention. The things of the Spirit can be easily glossed over. I pray the Lord will help us. We are in such very critical times when there seems to be a lot of contention. And if the Lord permits, maybe we'll do a bit of that in the second service. So you will find that for everyone that had stories in the Bible, whose stories were recorded, they were recorded because at some point in their life there was contention. Almost all of them. Abraham, Adam, David, Noah. Just imagine anybody whose story is worthy of mention. And I say that to say this, that whatever is going on in your life right now is not a death sentence. For your story to be beautiful, to be something others can use as an anchor for their own testimonies, you have to pass through so many things. The Bible says, through persecution and tribulation, we shall be delivered into the kingdom of God. So, whether you serve God or Satan, you will go through challenge. So it's better to choose how you go through it. Hallelujah. Okay, so Matthew chapter 5. And from verse 7. The word of God says, blessed are the merciful. For what? They shall obtain mercy. This is one of the scriptures, you know, that suggests that if you don't do certain things, you can't get some things. You know, I've preached a message here before, and I said the title of that message is, or was, God does not apportion mercy carelessly. Who remembers that message? It's on YouTube, right? God does not apportion mercy recklessly. And for those who like to just put everything about their life on God's mercy, they didn't like the message, because the idea of mercy is that I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have what? Compassion. So people like the idea that, oh, somebody died for them to be saved, somebody will suffer for them to be rich, somebody will marry for them. Then when you have 5 children, somebody would sponsor your children. Somebody came to me and said, your children, it's time for them. Because I say, I only have 3. You have 5. So if you know that you cannot take care of, it's not a crime to have just 1 or 2. Even in the advanced world, where they have the money, they don't just give birth as they are led by the Spirit. They try to confirm if their budget can accommodate such things. So if you say, oh, your children, oh, they are greeting you, it's time for them to go to school, I say, which one? Because my children are at home here. So if you stay within your... It's okay to stay within your limit. All right? It's okay. It's not a sin. In fact, it may be a sign of faith. But your idea of mercy... And that's where I'm going. Your idea of mercy, divine mercy, is such that we are made to believe that it is simply the prerogative of God. And that is true. But Jesus, our Lord, introduced something else. Let's look at that scripture again. He said, blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain what? We suggest that if at some point in my life I have not executed that mandate of mercy as it related to others, my request for mercy could be turned down. Which means I can sow mercy.
Are we together now?
I can sow mercy, and in the future, reap mercy. So, for instance, when I am being nice or magnanimous, or I try to give people money, or I help them in my own little way, I am conscious of my own children. I do it. I'm not even because I don't have anything to do with money. In fact, most times, you give out of the little that you have. Most times. Okay? What anybody that gives you money is giving you out of his sweat. So even if someone gives you 2,000 naira, even if you feel you deserve more, you should be grateful. Because that's somebody, if the person earns 100,000, that means that month he earned 98,000 because of you. So you should be grateful. And stop feeling entitled. If most Christians stop feeling entitled, they will move forward like 50%. So you can ask somebody to live in your house. The person is still expect you to bring food into his bedroom. There are people that live with others. They have never even thought that this person that was no magnanimous to accommodate me, let's even surprise him. The person may not ask because it's not as if he needs it. But it is a sign that shows whether you are even worthy. If there's some kind of opportunity tomorrow, peradventure maybe we can recommend you. No man of wealth and wisdom will come to you because and say, oh, come, you've not given me anything. No, you are not a bargaining chip. But I'm just telling that the way the spiritual realm works is that whatever you sow, you will reap, including mercy. In fact, the subject of mercy is so wonderful that Jesus said, blessed. If you are someone that administers mercy, Jesus says you are blessed because nobody will be able to reverse the verdict of heaven when God says, have mercy on her. Some of you look back now. Some of the things you benefited that seemed that you didn't do anything for it. Look back. Most likely you have sowed a seed. You have done something before that reminds you of something that maybe the other person did not even see it coming. And now you are having to receive a blessing of something that there was no way on earth you could have paid for it. Please tell your neighbor, learn to be merciful. Sow in mercy. Reap in righteousness. Hallelujah. So before you always want to be vengeful and say, die, 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 ask yourself, could this be another opportunity for me to show mercy? Very important. A lot of us, especially those of us from the Southwest, we are very rich in power, but very low on mercy. From the South. That's where the Northern Christians are better. Very much better than us. We are not rich in mercy. And believe me, if you think that mercy is something that you can just do because you are nice, mercy is not within the confines of being nice. Because most times, for someone to require mercy, that means the person is standing in the seat of judgment. That means the person needs to be judged. The person has done something that is so bad. Somebody can live in your house and she'll be gossiping about you. But they don't think it's gossip. They think they are talking. They have no shame. Somebody can be eating your food though. Say, actually, I really don't like the way she does her things, but you know, since I'm living here, you know. Whoever has the capacity to help you in any way, don't open your mouth against that person. It's not in your power. Whoever has the opportunity or the grace to bail you out, feed you, give you money, do whatever. You don't discuss those kind of people behind them. You will shut the doors of mercy. If you don't like the way I talk, for instance, and you are living in my house, please remember that if for nothing, I am a very happy man. I'm a very happy man. And even as maybe a father, I'm happy. As a husband, I'm happy. And I don't have to deal with you. I'm only doing it because of Christ's love. Not because I'm not a nice person. And being nice is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's just Christ flowing. So even if I stepped on your toe, you must have the bowels of mercy to say, oh, maybe he made a mistake. I'm telling you how people fail to understand that they are already sowing seeds that shut the doors of mercy on them. But this particular scripture is not even for those who hurt you. It is for those who have the grace to show mercy. Jesus said, if you are known to show mercy, he said you are blessed. Because your own mercy will not come from man. It will come from the Lord. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is a very powerful scripture. Say, blessed are the pure in heart. And when I look at this word, purity of the heart, I think that is where we have our problems today. You see, the confines of your soul is a place where you are permitted to be anything. And nobody will know. You can be a slut, a prostitute, but physically, you look like the most decent person. And that's why I say to people, before you marry, set a test for each other. A lot of people are not who you think they are. Even though they pray. If I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you, I would rather live with a prostitute who is now a Christian than somebody who claims to be pure, but not pure in heart. Because when it comes down to the real issues of marriage, the demands are different. You have one child, your life changes completely. Everything about your life. You don't even care about your makeup. You don't care about some of those things you waste your money on. If your husband likes to drink and consume alcohol, he will now need to think if he has the budget for it. Because now you are expecting twins. So when you're expecting twins and your salary is 120, so how many? It's like we'll be taking cold water. You prefer to go and buy Kankara. There's something we call Kankara. If you don't know what Kankara is, ice block. In the north, we call it Kankara. All those ones you tie in nylon. In fact, they call it leather. All those, I've forgotten name, but you know, transparent nylon. 10 naira, 5 naira. In fact, when I was there, it was 5 kobo. So you buy it, you invest in it because now you cannot afford to take Gouda again. So some people stop drinking, not because Jesus touched their heart. It's because Tinubu has made sure that except you need to drink, you should not drink. Jesus called those who are pure in heart blessed. Now, the word heart, there is the word kardia. That's a beautiful name. Kardia. K-A-R-D-I-A. Kardia. Nice. It sounds Arabian. Kardia. If you want to give your child a name, just call her Kardia. It means heart. Isn't that cool? Oyinbo people can pronounce your name. Nigerians can. So you are okay. It's not like Oluwagbe. What was that? Oluwagbe. No, the Oyinbo man doesn't even know what to do with your name. Just call me Olu. Olu. Even that Olu, they will not call it well. The word Kadia means the heart, your thoughts, your feelings, your mind. It also means broken heart, a broken heart.
So when Jesus was saying, blessed are the pure in heart, he was looking way below, beyond the spirit of a man. He was looking at the thought of a man's life. That part of your life where you can kill. You can kill a man and he will still be alive. Looking at the thoughts. How pure are they? The scripture says, guide your heart with all diligence. In fact, that's the only thing God told us to guard. Your life can go out of course if you let your soul just slip off for 5 minutes. You are gone. Pah. You'll find yourself in a state that you'll be asking yourself, is this you? Pastor, is this you? Pastor, is this you? Ah, you are going, no? You are going, no? Put a leash. Go and buy heavy duty chain, all those construction chains, and tie your soul. Use a construction machine. Don't use your hand. Try to hold it very well. Just clasp it, then tie it. And tie your soul to a tree. And say, don't go from here. Because you are very wild. Talks about your feelings. God says, I'm interested in the purity of your feelings. Those thoughts that you are incubating on around 11 p.m. at night, if they put a camera and they just begin to project what you are thinking, even though everybody thinks you are an intercessor, but if they project that you are lusting after the pastor. So what are we going to do with you now? Because everybody thinks you are an intercessor. Look at what our Lord Jesus is saying. That when it comes to the issue of the heart, he looks at your thoughts, the things you think about. Then he looks at the feelings. What are those things when you think about so-so brother or this particular? What are the feelings that go with those thoughts? God says, if your thoughts are found to be pure, say you are blessed. Not by man, by God. And believe me, this is one of the tests that God the Father set for his son before he started ministry. When the Lord said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, God was talking about his character, not his anointing. He wasn't anointed then. Jesus lived for 30 years without the anointing. He lived like, get up every morning, go to the bathroom. If he doesn't eat, he will be hungry. In fact, there was a particular time he had some issues with his parents and they rebuked him. They did not even consider the fact that it was an angel that spoke. The Holy Mother Mary, Holy Mary, rebuked the boy, shouted at him. You have shamed us. I've embarrassed us. We've been looking for you. You can't stay in one place. I told you, sit here. You went to the church. Are you the pastor? It was a good opportunity for Jesus to tell them, you'd be forgotten the prophecy that holy angel Gabriel brought to you. I sent him. I was the one who sent him. How dare you come, Barakashaya? My son, I'm sorry. I forgot it's you. It would have been a wonderful time to show her. Don't you think so? If they were Nigerians, even me, when my mom tried it, I said, no, don't go there. And the anointing is on my head. Don't go there. Not to talk. They called me to come and serve Jesus. When they tested me like that, I did not take it lying down. I said, whoa. I said, madam, know where you are talking to your son and where you are talking to a man of God. But you see, my own Lord Jesus, when they shouted at him, he would have. He coordinated. The Bible said, and he went and submitted himself to his parents. Baba from heaven looked, he said, my son. Even though he was co-equal with God, he did not count it robbery. He did not decide to exert his power. He allowed men hit him on the face.
He allowed men use a spear on his side. He allowed men ridicule him. There was a time they wanted to push him down from a mountain. He had to use his power to escape. He did not exert his power against his fellow men, because he knew they did it in ignorance. There were things that, as a child, he must have gone through. Like waking up early to go and fetch water. But knowing that this is not his destiny. Some of you are doing things that now is not part of your destiny. But it is the test you are writing, the exam. And God is watching you. And some of you are saying, God, how long? God said, my son's son was 30 years. you've only suffered for 2 years. You are shouting. Lord, Frau Bale, calm down. If you complain like this, I will increase it. I will increase it. Somebody is mine. I say, God forbid. God cannot delay me for 30 years. I join my faith with you that it will not be 30 years. Now, when we talk about the purification of the heart, it is not just something that happens only by supernatural happenstance or manifestations, where God just comes and he touches your heart. I say, my son, from today, you have received a pure heart. Go in this strength. And then you fall under the anointing. Of many things you can receive by falling, a pure heart is not one of them. Did you hear me? A pure heart is not one of them. You must submit that heart to the authority of God's word. If not, that heart will never be clean. David said, wash me with hyssop. Wash me so I can be clean. Wash me with your water. Water is one of the symbols of God's word. Many Christians have an unhealthy relationship with the word of God today. We skim through. Do you know what it means to skim through? You just skim through. And many times, we are all guilty, yes or yes. We just came through because this is Lagos. Just came through. Because somewhere in your head, you already know what is in that chapter. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed. Okay. I'll be thinking about it as I get into the bus. But between the time the conductor asks for the money and you start fighting for change, you may not remember that blessed are the merciful. The next you just hear is, yeah. Yeah, you just hear, you know, it feels good, especially when you are provoked. In Lagos, you just curse. Shem Lombazo, now me they talk to, it look better for you. If not be for this suit where I wear now, I for show you. This, see, forget to, I be area boy. Now just say I can't go school small. Then you not behave as if. Maybe you are with Pastor Tokwe, you are with your friend going to work. I beg, make I show this guy. Tokwe will now say, no, file. Leave him. No be today. But we don't mark your face. I don't mark. I sabi you now. We'll come back. You see. Meanwhile, Tokwe knows that you cannot fight. So his own job is to hold you. Then people say, bros, leave him. You can see he's just a riffraff. No, don't let him waste your time. There's a problem with your soul. And sometimes it is easy to justify such things. Sometimes for those of us who drive on the road, you require a level of sanctification. If you're on Lekki Highway, the people there, their driver's license should be retrieved, all of them. The people who drive there are not normal. That Lekki, you will expect that because it's Lekki. Once you cross from VI past the toll gate, it's madness race to power 10. There's nothing happening. There's madness. So you, if you are not mad, they will hit you. You have to be mad. Even when you are seeing traffic, you'll be speeding. You can see the traffic. You'll be speeding as if you want to clear everybody. They just step on the brake suddenly. I'm telling you from experience, those are signs of a heart that has not been thoroughly treated by Jesus, because your emotions are unhealthy. That's why you look at a young lady and you are, the only thought in your head is, see, it doesn't matter what you think. Once you marry her, those thoughts will vanish. You may not agree, don't worry. If you are lucky, the thought may be there for 6 months. So you marry for destiny. Because these eyes only longs for something he doesn't have access to. The moment he has access to it, he moves on. That's why the true test of a man is faithfulness, not love. It's in the Bible. It's faithfulness. That to stay with one person is not easy. Because there's something you call see finish. So those conditions will be treated when you submit your heart. Huh? It takes Jesus to treat that heart so that in spite of how you feel, you are able to make intelligent decisions. Are we together? Are you blessed this morning? Jesus made a promise. He said, those who are pure in heart, and please remember I said the word is kardia, those whose heart, their minds, their feelings, that's your emotions, they are clean, they are healthy. Let me give you another dose of unhealthy emotions. When you listen to a secular song, and you just realize without doing anything, your body is just moving in that direction. And you have so much energy. And you are twisting your legs and your hips and your body and everything. You are just enjoying, you feel so empowered. Some people will say, Pastor, you always talk about these people. Yes. Because those are my members. I'm sent to that generation. Bishop Berekwe is not sent to them. You see them, just twist your hand, twist your leg in front of the camera, and you go forward, you come backward, you do everything. So we now come to church. Glory on above. During praise worship, well, nobody is chatting with you. He's just trying to kill time. But I will sing one song for you now. Okay. Don't let me spoil your holiness. Are you with me? So your even when you say it's because it's birthday, that's the reason why you play those songs. They are pointers to one thing, that your soul is not pure. There are impurities, which means even if revelation comes, your biases can influence what God is saying. That's why many people say, Pastor, God told me, but it is very obvious it was not God. Now, our Lord Jesus said, they will see God. It's not just we will see God in heaven, no. They will have constant revelation of God on earth. Because they have met the software requirement, the system upgrade, for the mind and the face of God to be cast over them, so that anytime God is revealing himself to them, they can see him. Our Lord Jesus said, he said, I'm about to be taken from the air. He said, the world will not see me. He said, but you will see me. Jesus said so. That no believer is supposed to be at a loss as pertaining his decision to follow Jesus. God said, when I leave this world, the world will not see me, but you will see me. It's in the book of John. That means there is a revelation apportioned to you that per time and season, God will just reveal himself to you in a way that you will know that, I had an encounter with God today. How many Christians can boast of that? If God sees that you are getting weary, he will just come to you. He could come in a dream. He could come in some ways. Paul was about to be capsized on the ices, and the Lord appeared to him. He said the ship will be lost, but no soul will be lost. So when the problem came, Paul was at peace. He was able to comfort others by the comfort he has also received. So the highest reason or purpose for which we must maintain a pure emotion and a pure soul and a pure heart is so that we can see God season by season. This message is from the Sermon on the Mount that our Lord preached. Today's message is going to be very short. Hallelujah. So you don't need to cook for 3 hours for the soup to be very sweet. In fact, if you spend 3 hours, maybe you don't even know what you are doing. Just add palm oil. Then add your... Don't let me give you a wrong recipe. There's always a call, say, this recipe is from a prophet. You go and cook rubbish. We have a friend that is a master chef, while we're on campus. And the concern is, who will marry him? Because he worked at a Chinese restaurant. He had worked. He has like professional experience. He only came to school because he wanted a degree. Even when we didn't have anything to it, if he just takes grounded pepper and tin tomatoes and Maggi, by the time he's done, all the women who live in that compound, they know it's not their mate. So the question is, who will marry him? So we finally concluded that being a good cook will not be one of the requirements. Because yes. You have failed. Yes. You have failed. Brother Job, that's his name. Brother Job. He lives around K2 here. Your heart is important too. Okay, so question. If God was going to bless you right now, can you name one thing you are very good at? Like very good at that. Oh yeah, go and prosper with this thing and you will prosper. Or you even scatter everything. Hallelujah. All those things are still within the precipice of the soul. So what are we saying? Your emotions must be given to God. Your emotions are very wild. And if you think marriage will deliver you from your emotions, you are joking. This your mind can concoct strange things. So you must give your mind to God. Your feelings. If you allow your feelings rule you, the day God puts somebody beside you to help you, you will not be able to see the person. You will reject him because in your mind you've had a lot of disappointment. So for you, all men has come. Or everybody is out to use you and dump you to take your money. So you must liberate your emotions from pain of the past. Are we together? Not everybody is a predator. Not everybody is out to destroy. Some people are just sent to be your brothers. They are there to help you. They are there to be your sisters. They are there to help you. So be open-minded. I'm not saying you should be reckless, but be open-minded. Hallelujah. Let me skip. Okay, verse 9, very quickly. This one will cause problem. Blessed all you fighters, those of you who like fighting. This is your Bible verse. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? What about those who cause the problem? There are people who are known to be Christians. Even among Christians, if there's a disagreement, they are the constant. They are the reason why there's a quarrel. But everybody is a Christian, no? But if there's a quarrel, they know that Brother Tokpe, it must be Brother Tokpe and somebody else. But you know, in mathematics, they have constant and variable. Some people, they know that even though they don't talk, they are quiet too. But inside of them, there's a war. They are men of war. They are the battle. They They are the liquid fire. Eh? They are the war. They are the pacifist. They are the in their boski baose. That a person is quiet. Sir, please, no, let's talk about it. Let's say, it's just that this one is not talking. You see that one that is not talking? Go and tie her to a tree. That is the war. That one is the war. You see all these ones that are talking, they only have mouths. They don't have a... This one that is not talking. After everybody has said, you just say, well, it's just that I don't want to say anything. Because you are very stupid. You, I can see that you have no sense. You, I've been watching you, trying to determine if there's hope for you, but I can see. In 1 minute, everywhere is on fire. They are the war. This is a very serious matter for Jesus to say, blessed are the peacemakers, those who settle quarrel. So, question, if you are in a group of people, whether at the office or at home or in a business, are you the reason why the ideas that are being brought forward will work? Or are you the reason why the idea will fail? Please, are we together now? I want you to be asking yourself, because as I'm preaching, some people are thinking of somebody. I'm talking to you. You say you're a Christian. You are in this office or in this property, or you are somewhere, and there's a discussion going on. How can you be a Christian in a business meeting at the office and you don't have any contribution to make? Say anything. Too many no anything. Say no, I'm fine. On Monday morning. If you work for me, that's the first sign that you cannot stay long. I'll fire you. You went home, you rested, you did everything, and you came on Monday. And your boss, that means your boss has an expectation of you that you are not fulfilling. And your boss now says, okay, Tumininu, what do you have to say about everything? Say, no, I'm fine, I agree with you. You agree with everything. No, you are a man of war. Paul wrote to a particular church. He said, want these particular people to always be at peace. Because many people do not realize that even as Christians, we can be at war with each other. Christians fight. And Christians fight dirty. Because of the state of their soul. And everybody is calling on the God of heaven. Say, if I read Job 33 for you, if I read... See, you don't know me. I don't want you to know me like more than this. So if I open Job for you, in 3 days, you'll be destroyed. While we were at Ijare, my mommy was telling us, she said in Ondo State, Ijare is the seat of power for witchcraft. Meanwhile, I was there and I challenged them when I was preaching. I did not even know. I saw some of them taking a alcoholic drink and I rebuked them in the name of the Lord. Inside the church, I did not know that there were warlocks and witches and wizards with Gouda in front of me. So I rebuke them because they are old men. The Bible says rebuke that others may learn. So I rebuke them. So as we are going, that mommy told me that that if you have charm and you have not gone to Ijare to top it up, your charm is not confirmed. I say, I just closed my eyes, started sleeping because this is too much for me. So you see all those small towns. they are loaded with power. And that's why God rewards those who keep the peace. Because if we choose to go the way of war, one thing that goes with war is destruction. Destruction of relationships. How do we fight at home? Many Christians fight not with sword, but with their tongue. And by the time you finish talking to her, to Sister Tina, Tina will not want to greet Mama again. That's how you know you have fought a war and somebody's character has been destroyed. And if you're a Christian and you call yourself a Christian and you still specialize in, I just want to say my mind. You see, I noticed that here we are not sincere with ourselves. If you're in that WhatsApp group, delete your name as I'm talking. You will not go far. The blessing is for peacemakers, not warmongers. The blessing is for who? Not warmongers. Not abingers of war. Not people who are always quick to quarrel and fight. Not for people who always have an opinion. I don't like it. I'm going to deal with you. Who the hell are you? Who the hell are you? I'll destroy you. I'll show you who I am. Because you think I'm a Christian? I mess you up right now.
Sorry, brother Matas, calm down.
Say, don't touch me. How dare you? Who the hell are you? Ah. I'm warning you. Stay away from me.
When they brought Jesus to settle the matter, he said, blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. What a response. Jesus did not even ask who caused the quarrel. What happened? Who fought? Who slapped? You too, why did you slap? Why did you? Jesus just said, Ibukun, blessed are those who keep the peace, those who make peace. That's their craft. They make peace. They look at the situation. How can we make peace? They make it. The reason why they can make it is because it is in their heart. They make it. You cannot make it if it's not in your heart. You can't. Your first response must not always be war. Fight. Let's settle it. I'll show you who I am. Who are you? I was driving past. I think two people hit themselves. So I was driving past them. I just heard from the, you know me, when I see fight, I just wind down and be watching. No matter how urgent my meeting is, if it's on the road, I sit there, I'll just slow down. Wind down. My wife is always upset when I do, like, I don't know, you know, it's like a real fight. So it's not like they're not acting, they're really angry. So it's real. So I heard the brother who hit the rapper and say, who are you? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Then the other guy said, okay, show me who you are. When I heard the response, I just burst into laughter. Okay, so now back to you. Can you show us who you are? Because no police there. You people don't be shouting. And Yoruba people, they will shout. Abuse themselves. That's it. No action. Just shout. Me, I was waiting for the first punch. But the moment the guy asked, okay, show me who you are. Let's even know who we are dealing with. You call sergeant, I call colonel. You call colonel, I call brigadier. Yeah, general. If you still know, I will call admiral for you. Who are you? So it's who you know. Somebody is in Abuja resting. You are fighting on his behalf. Mention is saying that you do know who I am. It's your brother in Abuja you are talking about too. It's not you. You don't know. You are not anything. You know you did not take your life seriously, but you have a brother. So is that your brother you are banking on? Say, blessed are the peacemaker. Do you know that when Jesus was on that cross, he could have placed a curse on all those Roman soldiers? Say, from your lineage, generation by generation, you will not fulfill your days. For touch laying your hand on the Son of God. He would have said, you Pharisee, you scoundrels, you wizards, your estate has been taken away. He will play very heavy course. Father, forgive them. Do you see why it was impossible for him not to rise up? Because even he was tested by his own message. This thing I'm saying can make you look like a fool. So I implore you, in case you see that I'm the one that wants to fight tomorrow, just say, Pastor, remember your message. Because sometimes people, it's as if they are sent to provoke you. They just come out like, today is your file, it's your matter. Your mother will just wake up early in the morning and call you on the phone. Is this how you want to be living your life? From where to where? We still spoke 2 days ago. Some of them will ask you, so when are you getting married? You are not saying it. Are you the one that manufactures husband? If you know, you can only come back home. That Lagos, you are just there. I don't know what you are doing. You say you are praying. God will do it. So the way that you be like, oh God, this is not the best way to start the day. Some people just wake up on your matter.
Some people are not even aware that they were used to wake up on your matter. So you get to the office, your boss is already upset just by seeing you. So what is your own duty as a Christian? You must keep the peace. Don't fight except it becomes very extreme. Bible says, be what? Be wise as what? And gentle as a... So your first response is not to be combative. If not, that would be abuse of power. Because many of the people who have hurt you today can later come back to be a blessing to you. It has happened times and times again. People that seemed as though they were sworn to destroy you, and God will still use them to show you that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. And he can turn it in any direction he wants without their permission. Verse 10. Quickly. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, how many of you have been persecuted for your Christian faith in the last 1 year? Can see that there are no hands. Okay, we have one hand. What does that tell you? In the ancient times, persecution was the way we knew who Christians were. If you say you're a Christian, your life is marked by persecution. Trials. But now, what do we tell people? If you want all your problems to be solved, come to Jesus. You will not have any problem again. I will count 1 to 20. Come out and give your life to Christ. But after I gave your life to Christ, you got home. Your people heard that they saw you on camera, that you came out. They are waiting to fight with you. My boss, former boss, while I was working in the bank, who drinks Smirnoff, drinks alcohol, doesn't pay his tithe, and dances ragamuffin, will come here and say, hey, you should be a pastor, come. See the way I'll be looking at it with my bombastic side eye. He wants to ask, he will now bring out his tablet, say, hey, this issue of tithe. He said, my pastor, he said it's not compulsory. I say, follow your pastor. I'm not your pastor. Follow your pastor. He just wants to know something. Me, I'm not interested. I'm here for the job. The day he got into trouble, we had a Christmas party and everybody danced. I was the only one who just told them, excuse me, I will not join this parade of sin. So I sat down, I was sending my end of year report. They saw me. Do you know that many of them were workers, they are workers in their churches, so, and they were digging it, including the cleaners and everybody was, people are drunk. One of them, his name is Christian. By the time he got very tipsy, he did not know if the color of the shirt he was wearing was white or blue. Again, that's how drunk he was. But his name is Christian. That's official name, certificate, Christian. By the time they finished and I came out, it was because of me in that party they bought Mortar Guinness. There was no plan. They say because of Pastor Gwenga, they now bought like a half pack. So me, I can be drinking that one. Why they are feel array, they are going high in the spirit. Do you know that without even me saying I was a Christian or anything, my posture, my decision not to partake was the sign they needed that this one is different. After they all got drunk, they invited me to close the meeting with prayer. So this is even better than I just say, Father, we ask for mercy. I did not pray prayer of blessing. I say, Father, we ask for mercy and forgiveness for all these people. That's what I pray. Manager, region, everybody, I say, we ask for forgiveness. And they said amen. Because they were too drunk to even think of what is he saying. They are drunk. They have to process what I was saying. The one is that they heard in Jesus' name. I say amen. By the time I say, have mercy on them, I say amen. They are all drunk. So because of that, I cannot touch one naira that is not my own. The subject of persecution, if you decide to be a real Christian, you'll be persecuted. And what the world is doing now, they are trying to find a safe place to blend so that a Christian can be doing Nicki Minaj. I just like Nicki Minaj. I like the way she sings. And it is your own meat, which you are not sharing with another brother, but it's your own meat. So somewhere there's a blend. A Christian is called to a separate life. The Bible says, all those that will live godly shall suffer persecution. There are things others may, but you cannot, because of your decision to follow Jesus. And if you are listening to me now, whether you are in this hall or you are online, and you have nothing that you are restrained from that you like, simply because of your decision to follow Jesus, then you need to go back and have a rethink of your faith in Christ. Persecution is still part of our day. And the days that are coming, within the next 10 to 15 years, this thing that I'm saying, you will see world scale persecution against Christians. Go and write it down. Large scale what? World, on a world level. Do you know that as I speak to you, in China, they have edited the Bible. Have you heard of it? They've edited the Bible, New Old Testament and New Testament, and they've changed so many things. Jesus Christ is not there again. They use one of their emperors there, or the ruler of China. They put his name. They edited everything so that they will now adopt it as the official Bible in China. As I speak to you, Disney has applied to get the right for publishing of the Bible worldwide. You know Disney, that is trying to train your children, God forbid, in homosexuality. They were caught on camera some time ago. Did you see that video? Somebody recorded them in a boardroom meeting where they were saying, we will take their children from them, we will teach them the homosexual life, we will do this, we will do that. And it was caught on camera and somebody, published it online. That's the Disney you want to spend your $27,000 on DSTV so that your children can watch. So who told you that ministry is only about preaching? Why can't we have tech people who can create channels that are safe on the internet space for children to... Even the ones that I've seen, people did not subscribe. Because the matter is too Christianly. The matter of persecution, thank you. The matter of persecution is something that we must revisit. Persecution can come from your wife, can come from your husband. People, when I was young, we used to hear of people who lost their jobs because they were Christians. People who lost business deals because they could not compromise. Do you know or have you heard of musicians who became very popular and they suddenly went down? Because your talent can get you to the top. But when you start becoming popular, the owners of the kingdom will come for you. Yes. And tell you, we'll take you global. Or you give us your soul. Now, it's not actually a request. Because whether you accept that offer or not, they will destroy you. If you take the offer, you'll become popular for some time. If you continue making sacrifices, you will remain popular. But if you say, no, I know who I am, and go online, many of your popular secular artists, movie stars, they are coming out now on YouTube and they are talking. They are coming out, they are talking how their career was destroyed. Because this occultic setup, the powers behind the movie industry, they will come out and make you an offer. They'll tell you to go nude. This one you get 50 million. If you do this role the way it is, you get 5 million. If you take off some show some skin, you get 50. You too, you look at it. When will I break through in this ministry? Everybody is kukuma doing it. Why not do it? 50 million. You that, oh God. So now I hope you know that before you allow your children to watch any movie, you have to watch it first and be sure that it's safe, because spirits can be transferred. They are coming for our children. We must be on our guard. Therefore, I say to you, being a wife is not a role, it's a ministry. Being a husband is a ministry. We must defend the gates again. Because what? They are coming for us and they are going to persecute us. As we will close this session, the scriptures teach us, he said, it is not the hearers, but the doers that will be blessed. That means God places a huge premium on those who pay attention to him. So as we consider some of these matters, I want to encourage you to make a decision to go back and review some of the things that have been discussed. Because whether you like it or not, the days are upon us. And the Lord will help us. If you have heard anything this morning that blessed you, hold it tight and very dear to your heart. If you have heard anything that was a rebuke, hold it dear to your heart. Because the days that are upon us, it seems that people will only follow God when it is convenient for them. But many will be foolish virgins, but we will not be among them. I want you to pray and ask God for grace this morning, for help. You cannot live above these things without the help of the Holy Spirit. Ask for the grace of God. Ask for the grace of God to keep a pure thought life, to keep a shield over your soul, to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Go ahead and ask for grace. Ask for grace because you know you need it. Ask for grace. Ask for grace. In the name of Jesus, receive grace this morning for every heart, for every soul, for every family, for every child. We receive grace in the name of Jesus for establishment. And we ask for mercy for areas where we have deviated. And we ask for restoration, that the oil of restoration will flow this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Word of God says, if you do not touch the unclean thing, I will receive you. Do not be afraid of the things you will lose because you have decided to follow righteousness. Be more concerned of the one who says, I will receive you. Because what that means is that he will not receive you without a plan for you. He will not receive you without glory waiting for you. Hallelujah. Every decision for righteousness is a multiplication. It's not just a plus. It's a multiplication on your part. So we rejoice because we know that we are not orphans. In the name of Jesus. Appreciate the Lord and give him praise this morning.